Well, as another Thanksgiving holiday approaches, as it rolls around again this Thursday, it's good for us as believers, as the people of God, to be reminded that our lives should be filled, not with turkey, that may happen, but filled with thanksgiving. We're to be people who are oh so thankful. As you open up the scriptures and you read about the people of God, on so many occasions you'll find the people of God thanking God, praising God for what he has done in their lives. We also find many commands for us to be thankful. God commands us to do that. And one very familiar one, I know you're probably all very familiar with, is from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's begin by looking at that. Here the Apostle Paul says, give thanks in what? All. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so one reason why it's good to be reminded that we need to be thankful is that at times we can forget, can't we? We're humans, we tend to forget the importance of being thankful. Well, someone has put it this way. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? Our culture. It may, but that was written back in 1863 by some guy named Abraham Lincoln, as he called the nation to fast and to pray and to seek God and to be grateful, to be thankful. Not be so self-sufficient, but to be God-sufficient, to give thanks and glory to God. And so my prayer for each of us is that we would not forget to give thanks. And so one way I can help you and me to do that is to remember why we should be thankful. And if we were to just sit down today, we could come up with many, many reasons. And you all have already given many reasons to be thankful. That's good, but today we're just going to look at a couple reasons, and they are life and life. First is physical life. In the past few seconds, I don't know if you realize it or not, but all of you just breathed in and breathed out. You just inhaled and exhaled. You probably weren't too conscious of it, were you? It's not like you had to tell yourself, okay, now, breathe in and breathe out. Good job. Now do it again. Okay, breathe in and breathe out. We don't think about this a lot, do we? It's not on our minds. But you know what? It should be. We should be conscious of this. Certainly we're probably not going to be conscious every second of every day. But when you and I rise in the morning, when we get out of bed, one of the first things that should be on our minds is, God, thank you for giving me breath. Thank you for giving me life. See, God is the creator and the sustainer of life. God gives us our very breath. And though we live in a pretty much atheistic and humanistic culture that seeks to find every other reason for life, from aliens to a self-creating universe, the truth is God has given us life. God is the creator. God is the sustainer of our lives. Let's look at how the Word of God teaches this very clearly. First verse is out of Psalm 139, verse 13, that speaks of God being the creator. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, while it's certainly true that when we read in Genesis 1 where God took the dust of the earth and he formed Adam and he breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. Adam became a living being. He became the first man, and then God created woman. Though that is true, what's also true is that God is also in the creative work when everything comes to life. See, it's not like God just said, okay, Adam and Eve, I've made you two. Now go be fruitful and multiply. You got it from here. I'm going to go play a game of solitaire. No, he's actively in everything that is created now. He is an active creator. His hand is in everything. And so that is why when you think about it, it is very hard to understand how a mother or a father could witness the birth of a baby, the birth of a child, and not give thanks to God for that creation, for that miracle that was just brought to life, because God's hand was in that creative work. And of course, this is what David says when he says, God, you created me in my inmost being. You're the one who knit me together in my mother's womb. God is not only creator, but he is also sustainer. Let's look at another verse out of the Psalm. Psalm 3, verse 5. Says this, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Why did I wake up this morning and not die because I had a heart attack last night? Because the Lord sustains me. Why are you sitting here today? Because the Lord sustains you. The writer of Hebrews would say it this way, that Jesus, the Son of God, by his powerful word, sustains everything. Why are we all alive today? Because Jesus said we would be. He commanded it to be. He's given us life. He sustains life. Even now, we are dependent upon Christ for every breath we take. He is our sustainer. And we need to thank God. Thank God for creating and sustaining us. It's interesting when you read Romans chapter 1, when Paul talks about the general rebellion and wickedness of man and how God's wrath is poured upon mankind. And he talks about those who would worship the created thing or creation rather than the creator. He says this, he says they neither glorify God, listen, nor they gave thanks to him. It's as if Paul is saying this, the fact that you are living and breathing today, the fact that you are a created being and you know that you didn't create yourself is all the reason you need to fall down upon your knees and thank God for creating you and making you. That's all that you need. Let me ask you today, are you thankful for your life? Let me rephrase that. Are you thankful to God for your life? There's a difference because many people are thankful. I mean, many people will gather this Thursday. They don't know Christ, but they'll be thankful. They'll be thankful for maybe their food and their family and their friends. But you know where how far their thanksgiving will go? Right here, just between their two ears. It'll never pass the ceiling. And their hearts are often thankful for who they are and what they've done and what they've achieved, as if the reason they're living right now is because they deserve it. That's the attitude of so many. And yet that is so far from what the scriptures teach. Listen to what Jesus says about life and breath and what we deserve. Out of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. What was the point of what Jesus was saying there? Basically, he was saying this. So tell me now. You've seen those memes, right? Where we say, so now, you got Willy Wonka or somebody. Tell me now. So tell me now. You think you deserve your next breath? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? You think the reason you're breathing right now and Joe Schmo isn't is because you deserve life and he didn't? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Think again. The fact that I can breathe my next breath and you can breathe your next breath is not because of our righteousness, but it is because of God's mercy. God's mercy. And as Jesus says, if we don't repent, turn to him, then we will perish. What was Jesus saying there when he talked about perishing? The same thing he was saying when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not what? Perish. What was he saying? You won't physically die? No, you won't spend eternity away from God in a place called hell. You won't perish in that way. That was what that word perish is used. So the same way it's used here when Jesus says you're going to perish too. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about being separated from God forever unless you repent. Therefore, you're breathing right now. You better take advantage of that moment and repent and come to Christ. This is what Jesus is saying. Don't take this moment for granted. This is the point of what he's saying here in Luke 13. And so these words by Jesus were really a wake-up call to those who were thinking, hey, the reason I'm alive and those Galileans aren't is because I deserve to be alive because I'm not as bad as they are. And even today, there are many people who still think this way. Hey, the reason I'm alive and so is, at least I'm not as bad as Harvey Weinstein or somebody like that. At least I'm not as bad as that person. But they're wrong because none of us deserves our next breath. One of the things I always, you know, when you're going through the message in your head, you always wonder, what if I said that and just somebody just dropped dead in the middle of a sermon? That'd be kind of freaky, wouldn't it? I hope that doesn't happen. But none of us deserves our next breath. Whether you're talking about that depraved mother who's hooked on drugs and she drowns her baby, or whether you're talking about Billy Graham, none of us deserves our next breath. It's an act of mercy. Thomas Watson said it great when he said this: every time we suck in breath, or every time we breathe in, we suck in mercy. Every time we breathe, we suck in mercy. Is that how you think? Is that how I think? Not all the time. But yet, if we would think this way, you know what it would do in our hearts? We would be incredibly grateful every day that we have, that God gives us. It's a gift from him. Life is a gift from God. He doesn't owe me it. I'm not entitled to it. It's a gift. It's his mercy. And so we fall upon our knees and we thank God for what he's done. Are you thankful today for life? Are you thankful for breath? We should be, especially as the people of God who know him. The second thing I want us to consider today is life. Life as in spiritual life or as in eternal life. There are some great parallels when you look at physical life and spiritual life and how it affects or how it relates to the believer. You see, none of us deserves either, physical or spiritual. And none of us had a hand in either. We didn't help God. Just like we didn't help God creating the universe, we didn't help God when it came to salvation either. The Bible is clear that you and I were once dead in our transgressions and our sins. And it is God who has made us alive. Just as God breathed life into Adam, so he breathed life into you and I who are alive in Christ today, who believe in Jesus It was a miraculous work of God, a supernatural work of God. This is what is taught in the scriptures. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul says, as for you, he's writing to the church, writing to believers, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. If you know Jesus today, if you have repented of your sins and you've put your hope in his sacrifice, what he's done for you upon the cross as the complete and full payment for your sins, if you've done that, then I ask you again, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Once again, the more we drift from what the scripture teaches on salvation, the less thankful we'll likely be. What do I mean? Well, there's a theology that tends to center on man, a man-centered view of salvation, and then there's a God-centered view of salvation. There's a view of salvation that tends to emphasize man's ability and man's free will as opposed to man's inability and man's enslaved will. And one view tends to see man not as spiritually dead, but they're alive. They're maybe drowning with their head above water, but they're alive, and yet the scriptures would tell us that we're dead in transgressions and our sins. And the more we read the scriptures about our own salvation and the work of God, I believe it will create in us a thankfulness, a gratefulness. We'll be amazed at so great a salvation that God has worked in our depraved hearts, in our rebellious hearts. You will be in awe of God's grace to you. And that, again, ought to produce a humility and a thankfulness when you think about God's amazing grace. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul was so thankful? As you read his letters, you will find a man that was just overflowing with thankfulness. Listen to what he says earlier in Ephesians. In verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Again, praise and thanksgiving to God for what he has done, for saving us, for his amazing, amazing grace. Paul would also be very thankful for the people of God in his life and how God had worked in their lives. Again, in chapter 1, he would say this, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. When Paul looked out and saw other believers who were saved by grace as well, his heart was just overflowing with thankfulness. For them, yes, but also to God, for his activity, for his work in their lives. And may we be the same. May we have the same attitude there. I'd encourage you to read through the letters of Paul, and as you do, underline the word thanks and thanksgiving. You'll find it so often. Again, let me ask you, if you are a believer, are you thankful for God's saving grace? I love what John Newton once said. John Newton was the one who penned that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. One of the things he said toward the end of his life was this, you know, my memory isn't too good. My memory's failing me a little bit, but two things I do remember. Let me share them with you. One is that I am a great sinner. And the second is Christ is a great Savior. What two great things to remember, right? Amen. When we get to the end of our days, when we're in a nursing home and we're half of our mind is gone, may we be able to say, you know what, I know one thing. And the nurse comes around, I'm a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. And may those two thoughts propel us to be thankful, thankful people, as opposed to whining and complaining and griping about everything under the sun. It's so easy to do, isn't it? We live in a culture that is just rampant with complaining and whining about everything, from the weather, right? Oh, it snowed. Do you know it snowed last night? It was raining. It's too hot. It's too cold. Family, we can complain about sports teams, we can complain about government, politics, we just whine, wow, 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 like that, the teacher on Charlie Brown, like wow, 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 all whining, complaining all the time. We're bombarded with it in our culture and we need to be different. How do we stand out in this generation, this corrupt generation? Paul would say this in Philippians 2, do you want to shine like stars in the universe? And we said right before that, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Hey, that'll make you stand out. That'll make you shine. That'll let your good work shine before men. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Give thanks. Be a person who's overflowing with thankfulness, and your light will shine. I want to read to you from a really neat little book. Some of you men may remember this. We used it years ago in our breakfast before we got onto the persecuted church, was a little book. It's a neat little book. It's called The 77 Habits of Highly Ineffective Christians. And so it's written in a backwards kind of way. And sometimes that helps us, doesn't it? Because when we see what we're not supposed to be like, we may find that we fall into that. We're like, ooh, I better not do that. So let me read to you habit number 13. And again, remember, this is highly ineffective, okay? Highly ineffective. It is be thankless. Be thankless, okay? You want to be ineffective? Here you go. Man, Chris Fabry writes this. In all my years of analyzing truly ineffective Christians, I have yet to find one that has been thankful for anything. This is a hallmark of spiritual inadequacy. If you were to sit down right now and list the blessings in your life, no matter what circumstances you're in, you would no doubt need reams of paper and a stack of pencils. This is why I say never ever sit down and list the blessings in your life. It can only lead to thankfulness, which you must spurn. Do not be thankful for God's faithfulness. If you see a miraculous answer to prayer, quickly forget it. Do not record it or tell others about God's goodness. Do not be thankful for current material blessings, like a roof over your head or food on the table. Do not compare yourself with those in the world who do not have such blessings. Instead, compare yourself with the few who have bigger dwellings with better furniture and more attic space. Do not be thankful for your spiritual blessings. Do not be thankful for God's word, but whine that you would rather live in Old Testament days when you could hear the audible voice of God. I don't know what that person really knows what they're asking for there, but anyway, if you are single, desire a spouse and do not be thankful for the freedom you have. If you are married, pine for singleness and do not be thankful for the provision God has given you. Remember, it is much easier to keep the fire of thanklessness going when you stoke it with an attitude of ingratitude. All right, you want an action point? Here's an action point. Make a list of the things you're not thankful for today and share them with a friend. And of course, we got to close this with a hymn. You want an ineffective hymn? Not count your blessings, but here we go. Count your problems, okay? And this is how it goes. When upon life's pillows you are lying down, when you are in comfort and without a frown, add up all the negatives you think you see, and you'll be surprised at just how mad you'll be. Count your problems, name them one by one. Count your problems, scorn what God has done. Count your many problems, make the list real long. Count your many problems while you sing this song. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be a person who is overflowing with thankfulness. Because number one, God has given us life. And you know what? We may have infirmities. We may have, maybe not, maybe our bodies aren't what they used to be, but we need to thank God for the life that he gives us. Right, Arlene? Keep thinking, Arlene, because you were almost dead a few years ago, right? On IVs, curled up in a ball, 42 pounds. What were you? I don't know what you were, but you were, well, you're skinny now. But anyway, you were even skinnier then. And God spared you. God gave you life. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for, if you are a believer, are you thankful for your spiritual life? Again, look at the scriptures, what it teaches about our salvation. That's why the author of Hebrews would say this: how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Perhaps you're here today and maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. How will you escape? Well, no one can escape ignoring so great a salvation. And today, maybe you're here and your thinking is simply this: if my good things that I do outweigh the bad things, then that's all God requires of me, I think. Many, many people think that way. If you were to talk to people about how they think they're getting to heaven, that's their mindset. If I just try to do the right things, if I just try to be good and not do too many bad things, I mean, we're all sinners, but if I keep those on a small scale and I do as many good things, then that's all God will require of me. Well, here's the truth. Here's what God requires of you and of me: to obey every single one of his commands, internally and externally. How you doing now? Not too good, are you? It's okay, me neither. That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus came. He was the perfect sacrifice. He lived a sinless life. He was obedient to every law and command of God. And so as Jesus hung upon the cross, it was his righteousness that grants us everlasting life. It was his sacrifice. Dan's been talking in Sunday school about the atoning sacrifice of Christ and how God's wrath needs to be appeased and satisfied. God's angry with sin. He's angry with my sin. And so my only hope is not to try to do better and be a better boy. Or my man, I'm thinking my man now. Be a better man. I know I act like a boy sometimes, but be a better man. Not going to cut it with God. The blood of Christ is what appeases the wrath of God. And so what we need to be covered in is not our righteousness, but the blood of Christ and his righteousness. So today, if you don't know Jesus, then turn to him. As he said, repent, or you too will perish. You will spend eternity away from God in a place called hell. How much better to turn to Christ, to humble yourself, and to simply thank God for the cross. Thank God that he would love you enough to die for you and to be your substitute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all that you've done. And Lord, I know that we can all, I'm sure, confess our unthankfulness and our ingratitude. Lord, even on a daily basis, Lord, I know I don't thank you enough for my life, for my blessings, and for my salvation. And so, God, help us to be a people who are different from the world because we overflow with thankfulness. Lord, help us not to be caught up in this world and just the griping and whining and complaining that is so prevalent. Lord, help us to shine our lights in a unique way as we declare the praises of God and the glory of God. Help your praise to ever be on our lips. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.